Cherry, your host, and I'm joined by my co-host and producer, Johanna Medina. And we love everything about New Mexico. We're joined today by our guest, Kendra Loring, who has a very interesting story. I read your bio, Kendra, but I, rather than me trying to tell your story, I'd love to hear your New Mexico story and what it is that you're doing that our listeners should pay attention to.
Well, thank you for having me on. This is absolutely fantastic. I was born and raised on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and I came to New Mexico through college, through a work co-op, and I spent, a whole lot of years of my life trying to figure out, what I wanted to do. And I knew when I got into college that I wanted out of New England. All the snowstorms and crazy traffic, just the hectic life of New England. So when I was looking for a co-op for my last trimester of my bachelor's degree, I found this place in New Mexico and I was like, well, why not? I've never been there. I've never been anywhere near there. So I jumped on the Amtrak and I came to New Mexico and I got off at Alvarado Station and I said, this is it.
Wow.
Yep, this is home. I never felt at home anywhere until I got here. Yeah, so I love it here. I love New Mexico. I've been here since 94. I came and went a few times. And then moved back permanently in 2002. I worked retail for 18 years before I was able to get back to my passion. Back in the days when nobody had health insurance and you had to get a corporate job to have health insurance.
Right.
So I worked retail in order to have health insurance. So my passion as a child has been horses. I was in 4-H for my entire childhood, and I knew I wanted to do something in horses, and I just had no idea what I wanted to do, how I was going to get there. And going to college, getting a bachelor's in equine studies and riding was the first step to figuring that out. It was a general degree, kind of an overview of horses. And I came to New Mexico and said, I'm going to have a horse business here. It's going to happen. It took a long time. I'm 51 now, so it took a long time to get there. But I've been in business for 10 years now.
That's so exciting. And tell folks what it is that you do.
So the name of my business is Enchanted Equine Adventures. And I do therapeutic horseback riding, horsemanship classes, and riding lessons in the South Valley of Albuquerque. And I have a certificate to teach therapeutic horseback riding, but I've been a riding instructor for, a long time, 30 years or so. I started when I was a teenager in 4-H teaching the younger kiddos how to ride. So I was certified as a riding instructor in Massachusetts before I came here as well.
And what, for listeners, I do, I've had some clients who help with therapeutic equine programs, but for people who don't have any idea, explain how that works. I mean, we all know, unless you're scared to death to get on one of those large animals, how does the therapeutic piece work?
Sure. Yeah. Well, so my intro to that question will be to explain the terminology. So I have people call all the time and say they want equine therapy. Well, that's not what I do. And equine therapy is not a thing. Horses don't need therapy. Well, okay, that's not true. One of my horses has PTSD, so he probably does need therapy. But I'm not a therapist. I'm not a medical professional of any kind. My horses do the hard work. They are the therapist. So therapeutic riding is a piece of the field that is called equine-assisted activities and therapies. So that can include anything from mental health work, equine-assisted coaching, equine-assisted learning, hippotherapy, which involves physical therapy and occupational therapy or speech therapy on the back of a horse. And then therapeutic riding. So therapeutic riding is riding skills specifically for kids and adults with disabilities. So I had the horse piece when I got certified. I did not have the disability piece. So I had to get that education while I was getting certified. And I learned that the folks that I can help the most are the people with anxiety and PTSD. So that's kind of my specialty, is I work with kids and adults who have anxiety. And it doesn't have to be anxiety around the horse, just in general, in life. The horse has this amazing ability to calm people because they're gigantic prey animals. And they're also herd animals. So they live together in family groups. So if someone in the herd is upset, there should be a reason. So they should be afraid. So they should all worry. But if they know that there's nothing to be afraid of, then they have this ability to calm each other down. And that works well with us too. They share their energy with us. And they bring down your cortisol level, bring down your blood pressure. It's just an amazing thing to watch, just to be around them, just to brush them, hang out with them, have them follow you around and ask for scratches. They're absolutely amazing animals.
So, Johanna, does that remind you of anything? Does that?
Oh, what do you mean? Like when I used to take riding lessons or yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can edit this out if you want, but when Johanna was small and her dad and I were kind of in the middle of a custody fight, her therapist said, "You were little too. You were like 8 or 9 years old." And she said, "Get her on a horse, get her to some riding lessons." I thought it was the coolest thing. I love those afternoons watching her when we were up.
I didn't
North
know
Valley.
That's why I was doing it. I thought I was like,
see?
I didn't
see?
Know that's why.
Well, I think it was helpful. I don't know, but
yeah, I loved it. Yeah. Because there's like, besides the riding, all the work you do with the horse too. And even, you know, I'd had to muck the stalls and clean up after them and, you know, you have to get them to trust you and everything too.
Yeah,
so
for sure. Yeah. All of that comes with riding. And I don't like to see riding programs where a child is just handed a horse who's ready to go. Okay. Get up on and go ride your horse. No. You have to go do the work. You have to go get your horse. You got to tie them up. You got to brush them. You got to learn how to pick out their feet and put on their saddle and do all that stuff. And the same thing goes for adults too. You know, we're not all the horses are tied up, tacked up. We go out on trail ride kind of place. That's not what I do. There's plenty of people who do that, but that's not what I do. So that's kind of my philosophy. Yeah. So that's cool that you did that. And that's great.
And it was, I just think it added this whole level of, you know, caring for somebody else, and that was the horse. And as I recall, you had the same horse every time, but you know, caring for the horse and getting outside of whatever's going on in your own life has to be helpful to the people that you help.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And one of the biggest things I see, especially with the preteens and the teens and, you know, a lot of the clients with autism is this wave of self-confidence. You know, I ask my riders a lot when I first meet them, do you know what the word assertive means? And most of them are like, I think so, but I'm not sure. And then we start riding and I'm like, okay, so let's talk about what that word means. You know, if you're riding a 1,000-pound animal who doesn't want to listen to you, wants to go take a nap or have a bite to eat. Yeah. If you're not assertive, they will take advantage of that. So it translates from the saddle to everyday life. It's amazing.
Well, and you're also unplugging them. I mean, it's not like they can take their cell phone, right?
Yes. You don't want to ride with anything in your back pocket. So, some of my clients do like to take pictures, but I try to do those myself.
And so I have this picture in my mind of you in the South Valley because I know that part of Albuquerque, and it's especially in the fall. Isn't that one of the most beautiful places in the
Yes,
world?
yes. Yes, it sure is. I mean, I'm biased, of course, because I love it here, but the South Valley is just beautiful. And of course, you hear all kinds of negative things about the South Valley, but the where we are is just so beautiful, and it's about a mile north of the Isleta Pueblo, so it's about as far south as you can get and still be in the city. But it's quiet, and people remark about how quiet it is when they get out of their cars. We're right on the ditch, so we have egrets and herons and frogs and all kinds of snakes. We have all kinds of wildlife out there. So yes, it's absolutely gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah, I think people forget how much nature and wildlife you can get just a little bit outside the city. I mean, sometimes even in the city, but Albuquerque is not just this big city with, built. There's not really skyscrapers or anything, but it's not just a big city, but you also have water and nature and plants and animals. So it's all kind of accessible right there.
It is for
Well, and
sure.
that's what I was thinking. I was thinking of cottonwoods and that whole it's very pastoral down there.
For
And you
sure.
do have a lot of water.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, Albuquerque is the Wild West. I mean, in the city of Albuquerque, you can have horses. I mean, that's pretty amazing. There's not a lot of cities where you can do that. So, yeah, it's a pretty fantastic. I mean, definitely take your allergy pill before you come because there's lots of allergens, but I just live on my allergy pill, so I'm used to it.
So, Kendra, tell us if you can, without revealing anything, some of the transformations that you've seen. I'd really like to hear what, because we may have a listener who has a child or or may need your help in general. So I'd like to hear what do you see people where they go from here to here, A to B? How does that look?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I've had quite a few clients who have come in who are nonverbal and get on the horse, and within that hour, they're speaking. And it may not be full sentences, but words. I mean, they're speaking, they're saying, I want to do this. I want to trot. I want to go over here and go over the bridge. I want to do this or that. So that is huge. I've seen that many times. Yeah. I've had a few clients who, when they first got there, they'd hide behind their mom. They wouldn't even speak to me. But then as they've grown and as they've ridden, now they're volunteers for me. So they're leading, horse leading for other clients. Like, that's amazing, and there's I mean, to me, it's an up and coming field. I mean, yes, we've always been around, but now after the pandemic, everyone wants to be outside. So there's so much need for riding instructors and therapeutic riding. So I love affecting the youth of Albuquerque in that way and showing them that there are all these other job opportunities out there that are outdoors, that are not connected to a laptop or a cell phone. So yeah, I love seeing that. And even adults, I have some veterans and first responders who have come in with anxiety, and within a few weeks of riding around, they're cantering and really controlling their horse, and they've just completely changed. And I love that. Yeah. And I have a few, like a handful of senior women who ride with me. And they'll contact me and be like, well, I'm not sure if I'm too old to ride. I used to ride when I was a kid. I really want to get back to it. And now we have like this little circle of women who ride with me, and they go out for coffee after, and they just have a fantastic time, and they're riding horse, trotting around on a horse, it's fantastic. I love my job.
Yeah, sounds really amazing.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm a person who grew up near horses. I mean, I grew up out in the country, and I probably have been on the back of a horse 6 to 8 times in my entire life. I'm a little afraid. I'm a little intimidated. And so, what do you? And I'll tell you, the last time I was on a horse was like down in Bosque Farms, I think. And I wasn't assertive. My horse ended up walking in the bar ditch and I couldn't control her. And so when I think about it, I get anxious about the idea of getting on the back of the horse. What would you say to somebody like me? What's the story? How do you deal with scaredy cats like me?
Sure. Well, I would say the first thing I would say is let's do a private lesson. Let's start with a private lesson and not do a group lesson. We'll move you into a group lesson once you're comfortable. But I would say the first thing I would do is go out and introduce you to all six of my horses. They're all rescues of some sort. And I would see which one you connected with, first of all. Now, I'm going to guarantee that Cinnabar, who's our former racehorse, she's going to connect with anyone because she loves people and scratches. But if there's a horse that connects with you, we'll put the halter on that horse and take them to the round pen. And we'll just hang out in there and I'll teach you how to move the horse around with your body only. And once you feel confident in that, then I'll have you groom the horse and then see how you feel. If you're not ready to ride, that's okay. We won't ride. We can take the horse for a walk down the ditch. We can go back to the round pen and do some more work. We can work on anatomy. We can work on horse communication. We can do lots of stuff that'll make you feel comfortable before you ever even get in the saddle. And that may not even be a goal. Riding a horse may not even be your goal. Maybe it is just communicating with them, you know, or just finding a friend. You know, and that's absolutely fine. So I have a lot of clients who come with anxiety, but some of them, their goal is to ride. So we have to find ways to get them comfortable to eventually get in the saddle.
So there's another thing that I read, and correct me if I get this wrong, but you rescue horses, right? And find homes for them.
So I rescue horses. All of my horses are rescues. Either I rescued them or they were rescued by their previous owner. I work closely with the New Mexico Horse Rescue at Walking in Circles. Two of my initial horses I started with came from there. One of those ladies happened to be pregnant and nobody knew. So I ended up with an extra horse. Yeah, I believe that rescue horses, unwanted horses, they want a job. You know, they want love and attention, but they want a job. They want to work. And some horses may not be rideable. And that's okay. Those kind of horses do well with mental health work. On the ground, no riding. And they want to connect with a human, with a leader. So they work really well in that field. And then some horses, they literally need work, especially the older horses. Movement is the best thing for a horse. Wild horses walk 15 to 17 miles a day. So they move a lot. So older horses, they start to slow down a little bit. Their digestion slows down, but they really need to move. So the best thing for them is to be ridden, whether it's at a walk or a trot or on trail ride, whatever it is. And most of my guys are older, teens and up. And so the best thing for them is this work, and they love it. They really do. I mean, you can see that they love their jobs. Yeah. 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 There's a lot of unwanted horses in the world, but in New Mexico, of course, we have a lot of unwanted horses, and we have 7 certified horse rescues in the state. And I would really like to find a way to partner those rescues with all of the equine-assisted activities and therapy facilities in the state so that we can work together to get jobs for those horses, whether it is doing therapeutic riding or hippotherapy or mental health stuff. Yeah.
What are you keep saying, are you saying hippotherapy? I'm sorry if I don't understand it. I'm sure you guys do because you're in this, but no. What is that?
So hippotherapy is a term It sounds to me like they're trying to actually phase that term out, but hippotherapy specifically is PT, OT, or speech on the back of a horse. So the therapist does their work on the back of the horse. The horse is there just walking. So they have a horse leader walking them and then sidewalkers helping with the work.
And so if somebody's been in an accident or, I mean, what about stroke victims? Does this work for them or not? Because they always have OT.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Therapeutic riding is great for stroke victims.
Wow.
Yes. 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 And in a textbook therapeutic riding facility, you would have a horse leader. So the rider would not be in charge of their own horse. You would have a horse leader there for safety. And then you would have a sidewalker on the side of you. So people who suffer with seizures would have help to get down if they needed to get off the horse. Yeah. Yeah. I personally don't have a lot of volunteers. I like to have my riders independent. So some of my riders do start with a horse leader, but most of them, I try to advance them pretty quickly to get them to be independent and work on the horse.
Is that
by
something
themselves.
That you're looking yeah. for is more volunteers, or do you like to have a limited amount of volunteers?
That is a good question. I always need good volunteers for sure. But I try not to rely on volunteers to run my business. I try to keep going as best I can with just me. I'm a single member LLC, so it's just me and my business.
Well, Kendra, I am so fascinated by this. I love it. In fact, I may have to come down and spend an afternoon walking around with a horse.
Please.
But I do want to give you a chance to tell us all the things that you love best about New Mexico, besides the South Valley with the river and the ditch and the cottonwoods. What have you always lived in Albuquerque?
No, I lived down by Socorro for a little while. I lived in Santa Fe for a little while. But yes, most of my time has been in Albuquerque. Yeah. Lived in Rio Rancho for a little bit, but Albuquerque is my favorite for sure.
Nice.
And the thing I love best about New Mexico, honestly, especially being from Massachusetts, is that I'm 95% certain I would not have been able to open a business in Massachusetts like I have here. The amount of resources for small businesses in this state is phenomenal. I tried to utilize every one of them as I started my business. Yeah.
Wow. That's so interesting. Yeah. And I do think this is a place where female run businesses are not seen as an anomaly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yes, definitely. West. West was probably my best partner from the very, very beginning. They have amazing classes and wonderful mentors. I took a bunch of classes there before I even had an LLC. And I learned that I wanted to be an LLC and not a nonprofit by going to classes.
And it's
there.
W-E-S, yeah. It's several S's, right? It's a couple of S's, W-E-S-S-T.
Yeah. Yeah. W-E-S-S-T. West. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Yes.
That's so cool. Well, if you were coming here for the first time, if you had friends coming here for the first time, what would you have them do?
Well, I mean, there's so many things to do. I mean, definitely you have to eat. My favorite restaurant is The Range.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. My wife and I had our very first date at The Range, so it's close to our hearts. but I mean, it would depend on what the people wanted to do. But I think if you really like TV and movies, you know, going on the tours to see, you know, where all these things were filmed, I think those are amazing, because you'd be like, oh, I didn't know that was filmed here. Yes. Yes. And, definitely you have to road trip. So you have to have a car. So going down to TRC, to Riverbend Hot Springs.
Oh, we have to get there. I'm dying to go there. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Right on the river. Oh, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. We spent our honeymoon in Ruidoso. And we went, our honeymoon was in November, and so we went kind of out of season, but we would love to go back there and go horseback riding. So Ruidoso is gorgeous. And they have wild horses, so that's amazing. But just driving down to see, the pecan trees, the pecan orchards down in Las Cruces, and see Alamogordo. And I mean, there's so many things to see when you road trip. Go to the Taos Gorge. I mean, you can't just stay in the city in Albuquerque. You gotta get out and, go for a drive.
People are going to hear me say this all the time, but I always say, get off the freeway. People will, I'll meet people elsewhere and they'll say, oh, I drove through New Mexico, and they'll kind of scrunch up their face like, ick. And I'm like, no, get off the freeway.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
For sure. I mean, you gotta go, if you're gonna go to Santa Fe, you gotta go up through Madrid and have lunch there and experience that and get off at, at Angel Fire and go to the Veterans Memorial. Like I mean, there's so many things to do and see. There's so much history. I've never been to Four Corners. That's one place I've never been. And I would like to go there and just so I can say that I've been there one day.
And that's a whole stunning different kind of beauty. And that's the cool thing is that not, it doesn't all look the same. I mean, it may be that where you're from, everything kind of looked similar. I don't know. But in New England, I've been there, and there's only so many trees you can look at. But we're going to provide a link and let people know how to find you. But you have room for more clients?
Well, I actually have a waiting list, but I do have some room in my schedule right now. I have a lot of homeschool kiddos as clients, so my week schedule is a little flexible, and I do have a little bit of room on the weekends right now. So especially for adults, if adults want to ride. But yeah, I do have a wait list, so you'll have to email me to get on the wait list. Yes.
Well, we'll provide all that. But I love this is a completely different story than we've heard so far. And I thank you so much for being with us because I want the one thing that I want people to know who are listening is that New Mexico is very diverse and incredibly interesting and beautiful, and it's full of people who really care about other people, which is what I hear you say.
For sure.
You're one of those people.
For sure. Yeah. And if you want to start a business, I mean, New Mexico is the place to do it. I mean, you go to 1 Million Cups, go to the SBDC, go to West or Axion. I mean, those guys are going to help you tremendously to start your business. And most of those services are free. I mean, where do you find that? You can get a SCORE mentor to help you start your business for free. That's just insane. New Mexico is amazing.
Right. And SCORE is the Service Corps of Retired Executives or entrepreneurs or something. I mean, I know people who do that and they just give their time away helping new business people. It's so
It's
cool.
amazing. It
I'm
really
so
is.
glad you found those
Yeah,
resources.
me too.
Yeah. That is all good news. Kendra, thank you so much for being part of the
Well,
podcast.
thank you for having me and letting me talk about horses and small businesses. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Maybe I'll come down and spend an afternoon under the trees with you.
Yes, please. Please come down.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
And I would say to the people who are listening, thank you for being here, and we'll put up some resources that tell you where you can find all the things that Kendra talked about, especially her. And we just want to thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the I Love New Mexico podcast and for listening, for reviewing, for liking, and for subscribing. All right. Thanks so much for being here.
New Mexico, New Mexico, got the pedal down as far.